Begin the current tav, but become a daf lamed zayin. Begin 8 lines down at the top of the amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of the Mishnahis of this parak, discussing the halachas of Shur Shanagach regarding the mazik of Karen when an ox gores, specifically regarding the halachas of Mu'ud, when it transitions from being a tam, which is it's abnormal for an ox to gore, and there were the first few times it's considered a tam, and only liable for chatzin nazik. Then when it does it 3 times, it then morphs, it transitions into being considered a mu'ud, which is now normal for this animal to do this, and therefore liable nezik shalom. So the Mishnah tells us, shur shehu mu'ud l'minai, an ox that has already been established as a mu'ud for its own species, ve'ena mu'ud l'she'ena minai, but it's not a mu'ud for one that's not its own species. So for its own type, it has gored 3 times, and therefore it's considered a mu'ud to be chayv nezik shalom. But one that is not its own min, it has not done it 3 times, and therefore not considered as a mu'ud. So to mu'ud lo adam ve'in mu'ud lo behema, where if an ox has gored a person, but it hasn't gored an animal, meaning it had done it 3 times for a person, thus considered a mu'ud for goring a person to be liable for kaifer, for to be considered a mu'ud. But in regards to an animal, it hasn't done it 3 times. Or let's say mu'ud l'katanim. It has already established 3 times a pattern of goring a small animal, a calf, but it hasn't done it 3 times regarding a large animal. It says the Mishnah, Esther hu mu'ud lai misham nezik shalom. Regarding the type, whether it be its own min, or whether it be an adam, or whether it be a cotton, a small animal, whatever type it is, that it has already established a pattern of being normal for that type of thing, it's going to be chayv nezik shalom. Regarding the one which it has not established a pattern of mu'ud, then it's going to pay only chatzin nezik. Regarding that, it is going to be considered tam. So it's not a redefinition of the animal itself. Depends for what? For that which it has become a mu'ud, it is. For that which it hasn't, it's not. So to Amr Lifnei Rabbi Yehuda, they said in front of Rabbi Yehuda the following question. Hareza mu'ud l'shabbosis. If let's say an animal has established a pattern of goring on Shabbos, and the reason being is because on Shabbos, the owner is not allowed to work the animal. And therefore, it gets emboldened. It's not working. It's not under the yoke of work. And therefore, it goes off and starts goring other animals. And it hasn't established a pattern of goring during the weekdays. So the students asked Rabbi Yehuda, what would be the halacha in that type of situation? So he told them the same type of idea. So when it gores on Shabbos, any Shabbos, then it's going to pay nezik shalom. It has already established a pattern of being a mu'ud on Shabbos. So it's not only regarding a specific type of an animal or thing, but it's even regarding a specific time period it could become a mu'ud. Regarding the weekdays, then it's going to be considered a tam. It doesn't gore usually during the weekdays. And if it does, it's going to pay only chatzin nezik. Now, concludes the Mishnah, emosai hu tam. When would it then, yes, however, be a tam even on Shabbos? It already established a pattern of being a mu'ud on Shabbos. Would be mishayachza by gimel yimei Shabbosis. If let's say after it already become a mu'ud on Shabbos, then on 3 different Shabbosis they would have oxen walking in front of this ox and it wouldn't gore. So that would revert back from being considered normal for it to gore to being not normal, being abnormal. And therefore, if it ever then after that 3 times seeing and not goring, it would gore. Then it would only pay chatzin nezik, half the amount of damages, because it's already undid its mu'ud status by not going 3 times, and that makes it normal now for it not to gore. And therefore, if it does, it's going to be like a tam of chatzin nezik. Now, however, the way we read the Mishnah, the Gemara actually brings that it's a machlekes amayram, the correct reading of our Mishnah. Itmar was learned as follows. Rav Zvid Amar, he says the way we were reading and how it's written in our Mishnah, ve'einai mu'etna, which means to say that when we read, let's say, shur shehu mu'ud l'minai, an ox that was considered, that already established a pattern of goring for its own species, and ve'einai mu'ud l'she'einai minai, and that it has not become a mu'ud for the one that is not its min, what does that mean? What does it mean, ve'einai? It means to say that we know for a fact that it has not gored. In other words, that its own species had walked in front of it, and it has gored 3 times, and other species has walked in front of it, and it has not gored it. Now that is why the Mishnah is telling us that for the other one, that it's not its own min, it's not going to be considered a mu'ud. In other words, so if it gores it at a later point in time, you're only going to be chatzin nezik for the one that it specifically has not gored 3 times. And therefore, when it ultimately does, it's considered a tam. Now the inference of that is, but that without any prior knowledge, If it did become a mu'ud for one type, whichever the cases of the Mishnah that is talking about, let's say the first case of mu'ud l'minoi, then it would be considered mu'ud even for she'enoi minoi. So, for example, let's say the other case of where it became a mu'ud for goring smaller animals, it would be considered by default a mu'ud for even a larger animal. It's just the way the Mishnah is saying is that it specifically wasn't. It's saying that we saw that it was for one type and it wasn't because it passed by and it didn't. That's where the halacha of Mishnah is going to be, that okay, if it ultimately does then gore that other type, then it's going to be only chatzi nezik. But if it didn't pass by and we only know regarding this one type, we would say it would be considered a mu'ud for all types. That's Rav Zvid's opinion. Rav Papa Amar, he has a different girsa. He says, einai mu'ud tan. It, you don't read it as if it's one long case. It's actually, as the Gemara will shortly explain, it is each case has the halacha with it, which is saying that it's sure that it's a mu'ud for its own min. It's not a continuation of the case. It's telling you the halacha that it's not going to be a mu'ud for einay minay. The exact opposite from the halacha of Rav Zvid regarding the inference of how he learns the case of the Mishnah. As the Gemara explains, Rav Zvid amar ve'einay mu'tnan, he learns it, that it's saying one long case, that and it's not a mu'ud for that other one, meaning hastama hava mu'ud. But if we didn't see explicitly that it was goring this type and not goring for that other type, that's the case of the Mishnah, that we saw that it wasn't. So if it wasn't, so then it explicitly, as we say at the end of the Mishnah, when it doesn't do something, that's also considering a pattern, and therefore you would not be a mu'ud for that one. But if you didn't see that, if it wasn't ve'einay mu'ud l'she'einay minay, it just was, let's say, shari shumud l'minay or shari shumud l'adam or whatever the case was, then we would say that it would be a mu'ud for the other type too. But Rav Papa Amar einay mu'ud tanan. He learns the Mishnah that it is a mu'ud for this one that it was, but it's not a mu'ud for the other one. This tamal lo have a mu'ud. Because in general, when you consider, when you're sure that you're becoming a pattern of goring for whatever type it was, let's say minoy, its own species, or for smaller animals, or for people, whatever it is, the halacha is you only create a pattern, not defining the ox in general. It was specifically for that subject. But for other subjects, it would not be considered a mu'ud, not like Rav Zvid, who holds that, no, it's only when we see that it wasn't. But in general, the ox becomes an ox that gores, and therefore it becomes a mu'ud for every type. The Gemara explains their machlek is Rav Zvid daik misefer. Rav Zvid infers his halacha and the way he interprets the Mishnah from the end of the Mishnah. And Rav Papa daik mireisha, he infers it from the beginning of the Mishnah. As the Gemara explains, Rav Zvid daik misefer, he says that stama is going to be a mu'ud for everything, even though we only saw it for one thing. He infers from the sefer diktani because the Mishnah taught as follows. The third case that it described was, if mu'ud liktanim, ve'en mu'ud likdailim. It established a pattern of goring for smaller animals, for calves, but not for larger animals, for the cows, for the mothers. So, says the Gemara, Rav Zvid's proof was as follows. If you learn the Mishnah, as our Gerus in the Mishnah is, that it was one long case, meaning that it was a mu'ud for katanim, but it was not a mu'ud for gedolim, that's where the halacha is going to be, where it saw large animals and did not gored, that's when it can be considered tam. But hastami have a mu'ud. But in general, if it didn't see larger ones and not gore, all we know is it saw small ones and gored, then it would be considered a mu'ud for even for gedolim. So hakamash malan. So then this is what the Mishnah would be teaching us, a chiddush, a novelty in saying this case, that filim ketan l'gedolim, nami mistama have a mu'ud. That even though, and this is an important concept in the halachas of creating a mu'ud, is that there are more, it's abnormal for an animal, for an ox to gore. But it could create a pattern of normalcy for this animal to be an animal that gores by the fact that it has done it three times. Now, however, there are certain things that are more difficult to gore than others, and they're more abnormal. A smaller animal is much easier to damage, to gore, than a larger animal. So therefore, it would be saying a chiddush in saying that even though it has only established a pattern regarding small animals, it's only even going to be for larger animals. That's what the chiddush of the Mishnah would be. Even though it's harder, maybe for that it's not normal, because that's more abnormal, it's harder to do that. Still, that's what the Mishnah would be teaching, that it would be considered mu'ud. But Eli'i amrit einim mu'ud ketoni, but says Rav Zvid, if you would entertain to say like Rav Papa, that the way you read the Mishnah are not one long cases, but actually they're the halacha of each case is right by it, meaning every time it says that it's a mu'ud for this, it's telling you, but it's not a mu'ud for something else, meaning that stumble or have a mood in general, when you create a pattern of being a mood for one thing, you are not creating a pattern in general, it wouldn't be for something else. But then hashti yeshleiman, that's so Esther of Zvid, then you have to understand the Mishnah then. If mikatanim lekatanim di alma, if we already said in the Reisha, the Mishnah, regarding one type of small animal to another type of small animal, because the first case the Mishnah described was that, at least the way the girsa would be according to Rav Papa, that shersha mu'ud leminoi, an ox that became a mu'ud for its own species, eine mu'ud, that's the way Rav Papa would be learning it, it does not become a mu'ud, even another type of small animal, that's eine minoi, that's a different species. So what do you see? Stumallah have a mu'ud. In general, it's not going to become a mu'ud, even one type of small animal to another one. You only create a pattern for this specific subject. So then how do we understand? Why does the Mishnah then even say the Sefer, the third case, as an example? Of course not. If it's not becoming a mood from one small animal to another, because it's behaviorally specific for this type of animal, and not even another small animal, so a large animal, would you entertain to say that it's going to become a mood? Of course not. That's more abnormal than another small animal. And if we're telling it has to be specifically that subject, why would we say that case according to Rav Papa's reading? Obviously, he says, Rav Zvid, you have to read it like me. And there is a chiddush in the case that it's saying that actually stumah, that it's a mu'ud, not only from a small animal to another one, but even from a small one to a large one, it would be stumah mu'ud. Now, Rav Papa, Malach Rav Papa, would tell you that no, itzrich, it was necessary to say it. Even the way he learns the Mishnah. Because Solkadai Techamina, I would have thought to say, Hailu Paritz Bei Bahu Mina Paritz Bei, that maybe it is different. You're right. From one small animal to another small animal, since they're different species, we would not establish a pattern of mu'ud for that other type. But when it's regarding this animal type, it's this type that it has caused a breach and that it's attacking this type of animal. And therefore I would have said that maybe it doesn't make a difference. It's smaller animals or it's larger animals. This ox is going this type of animal now. Kamash malon de lava mood. That is the chiddush that, yes, you would have thought, even though from one type of small to another type of small, it doesn't, but from the same type, even small to large, it would. That's why, according to our purpose reading, the halacha of the Mishnah is telling you that no, stomach is not going to be a mood, even in the same type, which we would have thought that would be, even though it's from a small one to a large one. So that's, again, Rav Zvid's inference for his opinion. He infers from that he holds that stomach is not a mood, which generally if you create a pattern of mood for one, it would not create for another one. His inference is from the Reish of the Mishnah. Because the second case that the Mishnah describes is mood la adam, in the mood la behema. If it's considered a mood for goring a person, it's not considered a mood for goring an animal. If you read the Mishnah the way Rav Papa's Girsa is, that it's telling you a halacha, it's not describing a case. It's saying that if an animal has become a mood for goring a person, it has not become a mood for goring an animal. So what would that be saying? Stumble, I have a mood. That in general, the default is that you don't become a mood for something else. Albeit you're going from a person, that you have created a pattern of mood. You're not considered a mood for anything else. In other words, regarding, let's say, an animal. How Kamash Malan says Rav Papa, that would be teaching us a big chiddush. Dafil me adam, that even though it has gone so far to make something so abnormal, because an animal doesn't usually gore a person that has a mazel, he has seichel, he has intellect, an animal wouldn't usually attack a human being. And that, so even from a person, lebehemanami, and still to an animal, stomaloi havamud, the default position would be that it would not create a pattern of mood for an animal, which for sure, if it did something abnormal so many times, that and which has become the norm for this animal, for sure you would think to say that it's normal for it to gore an animal, on that you say that no, it's specifically for this subject. So that would be a huge chiddush. That would be only according to Rav Papa. Eli'i amrit ve'enei mu'ud, but if you say, regarding the Reisha, the Mishnah, regarding when you say the case of Shersha Mud Laminoi, that is, that an ox has gored its own type, but that it's not a mu'ud for its Einai Minoi Kutani, that you're reading it as one long case, which that would tell us, according to Rav Zvid, Hastama have a mu'ud. What that would be saying is, but that in general, it would be a mu'ud, let's say, from one min to another min. So on that, asks Rav Papa, Hashi Yeshleiman, now you have to understand the Mishnah. mibehema lebehema, stama havamud, if you're saying according to Rav Zvid's interpretation of the Mishnah, that from one type of an animal to another type of an animal, the animal that has gored one type has become a mood even for the other type. So then, ma'adam lebehema tzuricha lemeim to have a mood. So do you have to say that from a person that you have become a mood to an animal that you have to become a mood? Of course, because not one type of an animal, you say, okay, maybe that type it would be normal for it to gore, but who said that other type? But from a person which is so abnormal, that has become the norm for this animal, has gone so far, for sure then you're going to say, as created a pattern of mood for an animal, what would be the necessity of saying that chiddush according to Rav Zvid's reading of the Mishnah of ve'enay mood, which would be telling us that the default is that it is a mood, and you already said from the Rishon Mishnah, from behemoth to behemoth, for sure from Adam to behemoth. Now, Rashi points out that why couldn't the Gemara answer that we had to tell us the chiddush itself of the halacha itself, which is that when you, because that's how Rav Zvid's learning the Mishnah, that it's one long case, that when you see that it's not a mood for an animal, meaning it's mood la adam, ve'ena mood la behema, that it's saying that if it saw animals and didn't gore it, that it's only going to be chatzin nezik, and that Rashi says that's obvious that a tam is going to be chatzin nezik. There wouldn't be any chiddush in halacha itself. The only chiddush according to Rav Zvid are the inferences of that, which is that, yes, when you saw that you didn't gore, that's when it's going to be chatzin nezik. But if we don't know otherwise, creating a pattern for one would be stumma for the other one. So therefore, if you know that chiddush from the Reisha, why do you need the case of the Sefer from Adam to Behemah? Of course, you would say stumma, it'd be considered mood. But Rav Zvid Amalach, he'll answer to you that Reisha achazarkai. The Reisha is going on retraction. In other words, that it is necessary to say the halacha itself, that on the animal you're only going to be paying chatzi nezik. In other words, because the case is talking about even though it had already become a mood for an adam and for an animal. Because kagoyin, the case talking about, to have a mood la adam, umud la behema. This ox had created a pattern of already three times of goring both humans and animals. Now, but the case is talking about v'hadar be behema. But then it retracted, it saw an animal three times and did not gore. In other words, it had been by an animal three times and it didn't gore. So the chiddush of the Mishnah that it's talking about is that it reverts back to its status of a tam, even though it has not retracted, it didn't revert back, it didn't not gore a person three times. Now, the chiddush is because ma'av de tema, kivin de lehada bema adam, we would have thought to say that since it didn't revert back yet from not goring a person, chazar de behema lav chazarahi, so the retraction of the animal is not a retraction, because how could you say? If the more abnormal it's still normal for sure the less abnormal it's still considered normal for. Kamash Mulan, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, the chazar de behema mi chazarahi. That no, the retraction, the undoing of the animal, having seen the animal three times and not goring it, you don't say that that's not undoing it, because how could that be undoing it if it still has considered a mood for Adam? Then we say no. We say that for the animal it saw three times, it didn't gore the animal, although it's still a mood for Adam, that's the halacha of the Mishnah, mood la Adam is ain't a mood la behema, to say that yes, and that's not for the inference, that it's actually for that halacha itself, that then for the behemoth it's going to be only chatzin nezik. But you're right, for the inference, we don't need it because we already know from the reisha, from one animal to another animal, stumma is a mu'ud. For sure, from adam to behema, stumma is going to be mu'ud. But actually, it's necessary for the case of the halacha itself, which is in the case of hadar, of chazara, of retraction. And that's a chiddush in saying that although that it's still a mu'ud for adam, it's not going to be a mu'ud for a behema anymore. Now, however, the Gemara continues asking Meisvei, asked from the following Braisa on Rav Zvid, who the way we just answered, he holds that mud la adam have a mud la behema, which is that's because that's how he reads the Mishnah. He says mud la adam ve'ena mud la behema. If it happens to be mud for adam and not mud la behema, oh, okay. And as we had to actually explain for the chiddush of it, it's for the case of retraction. But in general, he holds mud la adam would be mud la behema. Not like Rav Papa, who held that no, that's actually the halacha. Mud la adam ain't a mud la behema. So according to Rav Zvid, it says in general that if an animal has already gored a human three times, it's for sure going to be considered a mood to pay, let's say, nezik shalom. If it gores an animal, the Gemara asks for the following braisa. Sumchas Aimer, Sumchas says, mood la adam, mood la behemah mekal b'chaimah. He says that yes, if an ox gores a person three times, it's considered mu'ud for an animal from a kal v'chomer. Because he says a ma'ala adam, because if regarding a person, it's a mu'ud, so lebehema l'koshke, instead of an animal, isn't it a kal v'chomer? As we explained before, if a person has mazel, it's so abnormal for an animal to be goring a human, and it has, for sure for an animal, it's considered normal, it would be considered a mu'ud. Now, that's simchas. Asks the Gemara, machlal, the inference is, since we're saying just an individual Das Yachid, a Tanoic opinion, the inference is a Tanakama, that the Rabbanon, they disagree, and they ain't a Mu'id Kama. They hold that it's not going to be considered a Mu'id, which that refutes Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid had said in the halacha of our Mishnah that if a person, if the ox is a Mu'id L'Adam, it's going to be Mu'id L'Behema. Here we see clearly that maybe that's only Sumchas, but everyone else disagrees and holds Mu'id L'Adam is ain't a Mu'id L'Behema. So Amalei Rav Zvid said, no, that Sumchas Achazarikai, which is exactly like we had entertained in the Havamina, which we said was the Chiddush of our Tana of our Mishnah, which is exactly how he's going to explain the Tana, Kama, of this Braisa, which is exactly going to be like a Zvid, which is Simcha was told about regarding the Halacha of retraction. V'hacha Kama Lil Tana Kama, this is what Simcha was telling Tana Kama. The Ka'amr, this that you said, Chazar de Behema Chazarahi, that the retraction of an animal is considered retraction, Mina, in other words, that although it's mu'id la adam and mu'id la behema, but then when it sees an animal three times and doesn't gore it, it's not going to be a mu'id anymore. On that halacha, and that's how Rav Zvid explained the halacha of Mishnah, that is what Simchas is saying, that no, chazar to behema lav chazar he, you cannot say that it's undoing now it's of it being a mu'id for a behema. It says, mekav l'chayma adam. So mekav l'chayma from its status of being a mu'id regarding a human. Because a mam adam loy mekama hadabe, if it didn't undo its status of being a mu'id regarding a human, so behema l'kosh again, isn't a kavu chaymer that it's not going to be able to undo its status of being a mu'id for a behema, because a human is much more abnormal, and if for that it's considered normal, for sure regarding an animal. And again, that's what we had explained, the Tanakama comes to say explicitly, not like that, and that's the Chiddush HaRezvid actually learns our Mishnah, that is coming to say that no, even though, yes, it would be a kavu chaymer, but it saw an animal three times and it didn't gore, it does undo its status of a mu'id, and it becomes a tam, according to the Tanakama, regarding a behema. But it's not regarding the halacha itself of creating its status of mu'id, because actually, even the Tanakama would agree, mu'id la'adam is mu'id la'behema, it's only regarding undoing, that's only where Simcha says, mu'id la'adam is going to retain its mu'id for behema. The Tanakama holds, however, garing chazara, that mu'id la'adam, since you saw an animal three times, it would not be mu'id la'behema. Now, Rav Ashi actually says, Toshima, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah, like Reb Zeir. Because the Mishnah said that Amr lefnei Reb Yehuda, the students asked in front of Reb Yehuda the following question, HaRezeh mu'id l'shabbos, so let's say the animal was already considered a mu'id for Shabbos, for going on Shabbos, but v'ein mu'id l'moysachal, but it's not a mu'id for the weekdays. So Amr lehen, so Reb Yehuda said to them, so l'shabbos, m'sham nezik shalom, for Shabbos, when it gores, it's going to pay the full amount of damages, but for the weekday, it's going to pay only half of damages. Says the Gemara, says Rav Ashi, if you say like Rav Zvid, that the Eina Mu'id Ketani, that it's one long case, that it's saying that the case happened to have been that it was a Mu'id for Shabbos, and it wasn't a Mu'id for the weekday, meaning it saw animals on the weekday and did not gore. So then you could explain, that this is what the students of Rabbi Yehuda were asking him, that where we see that it was a mu'id for Shabbos, but in the weekday it didn't gore, what was the halacha? And that's what he was answering by saying, oh, Shabbos, nezik shalom, weekday chatzin nezik. But if you learn like Rav Papa, that it was actually saying, each case in the Mishnah was describing its halacha. For example, mu'id la'adam, the Mishnah was saying, was einem mu'id la'behema. Mu'id la'katan, so then, the same thing would be seemingly regarding the case that the students were talking with their Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda, which was they were telling him, Mu'id l'Shabbos is Einay Mu'id l'Chayil. So the question is, Agmur Hu Dikamagamrili? What are they teaching their Rebbe? What does that mean? According to the way Rav Papa learns the Mishnah, it's the halacha. It's saying, oh, Mu'id for Shabbos is not Mu'id for Behema. What do you want from your Rebbe? You're telling him? Vesum moreover, Ihu Maikamahadlu, then what was he answering them? They also said that only on Shabbos is it a mu'id, but not for the weekday. So therefore, it's obvious from the way the discussion was with Rabbi Huda that it wasn't the first half being the case and the second half being the halacha. It was one long run-on case, and that's what the culmination of the ratio was where it said and so too, that's what he was answering to them, the same idea, the one that on Shabbos is Nezik Shalom and weekday it's Chatzin Nezik. Moreover, as we just alluded to, the Gemara says, Omer Bianai says, Mereisha Nami Deka, from the ratio of the Mishnah is also inferred the way Rav Zvid learns the Mishnah. Because the Ketani we learned, it sums it up by saying, Eshemuudloi Misham Nezik Shalom. For the one that it's a mood for, that it has created a pattern of goring three times, you're going to pay Nezik Shalom. There's a mood like Mishlam Chatzin Nezik. The one that it didn't create a pattern for is only going to pay Chatzin Nezik like a tam. So it says Rav Yanai, if you learn the Mishnah like Rav Zvid, that all the cases in the ratio were one, there were cases, no halachas. So therefore, Perusha Kumafarish law. So therefore, the end of the ratio comes to explain. In other words, as Rashi points out, as we said before, the actual halachas we don't really need. It's for the inferences, to infer that, oh, in these cases where it explicitly saw that other type and didn't gore, oh, so then for that one it's going to be Chatzin Nezik, and the other one that it did, it's going to be Nezik Shalom. But in general, once an animal comes a mu'ud, even for one type, it's going to be mu'ud for all the other types. So that's why it had to finish off when it described the cases where it said, one case is, it was mu'ud for its own min, and it wasn't a mu'ud for its other min. It didn't say in the halachas, it was just describing the case. It was mu'ud for Adam, and it wasn't mu'ud for Behemoth. It was a mu'ud for Ketanim, and it wasn't mu'ud for Gedalim. So that's what the Mishnah concludes by saying, okay, the one that it's a mu'ud for, it's Nezik Shalom. The one that's not a mu'ud for, it's Chatzin Nezik, which, of course, we know that halacha already, but we have to conclude the halacha because the primary point of the cases were for the inference to say that only because it explicitly wasn't a mu'ud for the other one, but in general, it would be. But Eli I Amrit ain't a mu'ud ketani. But if you read the Mishnah like Rav Papa, that each one is saying its own halacha, which is, let's say, mu'ud la Adam, ain't a mu'ud la behema, mu'ud la ketanim, ain't a mu'ud la gedolim. So then it already concluded its halachas already. It already told us that it's not going to be mu'ud for anything else. So then what does the Mishnah need anymore when it then so seemingly redundantly tells us, oh, eshem mu'ud la misham nezik shalom, the one that is a mu'ud for, it's going to pay nezik shalom. Vesh ain't a mu'ud la misham chatzin nezik, the one that's not a mu'ud for, it's going to pay chatzin nezik. And that asked the Gemara, ad hashtar la shemina, what do you mean, up until now, until we came to daf lama zayin baba kama, we didn't know that tam misham chatzin nezik mu'ud misham nezik shalom? Didn't we know? Of course we know tam is chatzin nezik and the mu'ud is nezik shalom. Rather, it must be that that's not the primary point. We're not here to tell you the halacha. It was, as Rav Zvid had said, that it was, we only had to tell you the halacha because we wanted to finish up the cases that we described. And we said the cases for the inference of that stomach is a mu'ud, because according to Rav Papa, we already told you the halachas, and we don't have to follow through. We know the halacha of tam, and we know the halacha of mu'ud, and therefore it seems to indicate that the correct reading is, as we have it, of Rav Zvid, that they're cases and not a case and its halacha with it, which would tell us that stomach is going to be a mu'ud for the other things. It's only when it explicitly is not that then it's not going to be mu'ud for those other things. Which means to say that an animal, it's in the animal itself and not behaviorally specific for this animal that it was goring. Now, however, the Gemara does tell us that the imtim tzalei manami isil Rav Papa. Now, even if you're going to say and learn like Rav Papa did, that in general, an animal is not going to be a mu'ud for its another species. Let's say it only be gored three times for one species. We said the halacha seems to indicate that it's going to be the ox is a sharim mu'ud, and that will be for any type, although it became that way or was indicated that way, whether it be the simon or the siba, through goring the animal three times. But Rav Papa, who holds it, no, it's for this one that it has established such a pattern. But not for others. Still, the Gemara tells us, even if you can say like Rav Papa, where it's only for this type, but if nagach shar chamar b'gamal, but if let's say an ox gored an ox, a donkey, and a camel, so nasa mu'ud lakal. There, even Rav Papa would agree that it has become a mu'ud for goring all types of animals. In other words, and you wouldn't need to have to gore three times for every single type of animal to become a mu'ud for that type. Because since here it has become a mu'ud by three different types, you see it's not specific to one type. Meaning, if it gored one type three times, then yes, it's only according to Rav Papa this type and not for other types. But if it became an animal that gored three times by three different types, then we see it's not specific to one type, and then even Rav Papa would agree that it becomes a mu'ud for all animals now, no matter what animal it gores now, it's going to be chayiv nezik shalom. Tanabon went in the braisa. Continue on these halachas. Rosh shar nagach. Let's say the ox sees an ox and gores. Shar loy nagach. Then it sees another ox and doesn't gore. Shar nagach, it sees an ox and gores. Sherloy Nagach, and sees another ox and does not gore. Sher Nagach, and sees an ox and gores. Sherloy Nagach, and then sees another ox and does not gore. Says the Braisa, Nasa Mu'ud Lisirugin Lishvarm. It has established a pattern of becoming a Mu'ud, but intermittent. In other words, that every other one has become the norm for it to gore. And that's the pattern of Mu'ud that it has established. And therefore, if let's say it gores consecutive, it's not going to pay more than Chatzi Nezik on the last one, because now what has become normal for it is yes, one gore, yes, one not gore. Yes, gore, not gore. Yes, gore, not gore. So in that pattern, it's going to be Chayiv Nezik Shalom every other one. But the middle ones, it's not normal for it to gore. And if it does gore, it's going to be only Chayiv Chatzi Nezik in that situation. So too, the Gemara says, similarly, Ton Rabban, Rosher Nagach, let's say it sees an ox and it gores, Chamor Lo Nagach, sees a donkey and does not gore, Sus Nagach, sees a horse and gores, Kamal Lo Nagach, sees a camel, does not gore, Pered Nagach, sees a mule and gores, Arud Lo Nagach, it sees a wild donkey and does not gore. Same type of halacha, but with different type of animals, so it has the same type of halacha. Nasimud L'Sirugin L'Koil, it has become a pattern of, and that's the mu'ud status of it, for every other one, but for all types of animals as it had in this mix, all different types, not just one type. Ibar Luhu, the following question. Nagach, if a gore is, as we continue on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, shar an ox, v'shar an ox, three oxen, chamor a donkey, v'gamal and a camel, maha, what's aloch in that situation? So the Gemara explains the question. Hai shar basra, that last, that third ox that had gored, three out of five. Do we say basa shvarm shadin le? Do we say it goes after the first two oxen? Vakati lishvarm huda ayayad, and therefore, essentially, this ox has only established halacha being a mu'ud regarding oxen, but lamid achrina loya ayayad, but has not established halacha becoming a shvarm mu'ud for all other types, because although it had gored then chamor and gamal, but that's only two. That shvarm that came before it wasn't part of that. It was part of that first pattern of three oxen, all that type. Which we explain according to Rav Papa, it only becomes a shur mu'ud for that type and not for other types. Oidimo, or maybe do we say, Hai shur basra, no, that last ox, basa chamor v'gamal shadin la, it's part of the second phase. It's related to becoming for all different types of animals. As we see after that ox, it gored a donkey and a camel. Vayayid le l'kulamin, and therefore it becomes a mu'ud for all different types. Because we see that there is a connectivity, that we see there was three different types of animals that are gored, and therefore it should become a mu'ud for all different types. So do we say that that shur is related to the first two oxen or related to the last two of different types of animals, and if it's a mu'ud l'koil? So too, the other way around. Let's say chamar, it gored a donkey, a gamal and a camel, and a shur and an ox, and a shur and an ox, a shur and an ox. Maha, what's Allah in this situation? In other words, if you say, regarding the previous question, that when it starts off ox, 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 donkey, camel, then you'll say that, okay, so it would make sense that it's part of the first cycle of patterns, and therefore it's only going to be a mu'ud for shvarim, for oxen, because it was shar, 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 and therefore we say, okay, that's one unit, it became a mu'ud for shvarim, now chamar and gamal are just two, it's not related to it. The question is, in this case, would it be different? Because maybe in this situation, hai shar kama, this first ox, okay, it came on the heels, basa chamar v'gamal shadin le. You had a donkey, you had a camel, and then you had an ox, three different types. It became a mu'ud for all types of animals. And therefore, vayayid le the kulimin, it became a mu'ud for all different types. Oidilma, and this would be a bigger chiddush, that's why it's following on the heels of the previous halacha. Or maybe do you say, no, basa shvam shadin le. You say it's related to the last two, it's related to the oxen, because yes, although it came after chamar and gamal, and if we only had the shur, you would say it's mu'ud l'kol. But since you had that chamar and gamal, and then you had a shur, three of them in a row, it would seem to indicate that it's not related to being a mu'ud for all different types of animals. It was because suddenly it became a mu'ud for shvarim, and therefore vakat l'shvarim hodayad, and therefore it's only mu'ud for oxen, l'min achrina loyayad, but for other types, maybe it's not going to be a mu'ud. That's one series of questions. Similar types of questions regarding the other halacha that we mentioned in our Mishnah, not just different types of animals, not regarding subjects, but in timing. We said it could be differences in mu'ud. Let's say Shabbos, Shabbos, v'Shabbos. Let's say gored on Shabbos, then a different Shabbos, another Shabbos. Echad b'Shabbos, v'Sheni b'Shabbos mahu. Then on Sunday, and another time on Monday. What would be the halacha in that situation? As the Gemara explains, Ha Shabbos Basraisa, that third Shabbos. Buster Shabbos with the Shadin Lay? Do we say it's related to the first two Shabbosses? And it makes sense that it has only become a Mu'ud for Shabbosses. And therefore, Vakat Le Shabbos with Ayyad, it's only a Mu'ud for Shabbos. Le Mesachoy Lo Ayyad has not become a Mu'ud regarding the weekdays? Aydema, no. Or do you say, no, it was Shabbos, but then you had Shabbos and Sunday, Monday. Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. Basa Echad B'Shabbos, V'Shein B'Shabbos Shadin Lay. Therefore, you would say it's the pattern of the days of Shabbos, Sunday, and Monday, Vayayid Leila Kuli Yom. And therefore, you see that it's created a pattern of Mu'ud for all different types of the days of the week. And it's not just a Mu'ud for Shabbos. So to the other way around, as we explained the previous phases, cases. Let's say, Hey B'Shabbos, V'Erev Shabbos, V'Shabbos. Let's say Gord's Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. And then Shabbos with Shabbos. And then on a different Shabbos, another Shabbos. What would be the halacha in that case? Same type of a question. Ha Shabbos kamaisa. This first Shabbos. You would say, Basra Heber Shabbos ve'erv Shabbos shadin lay. It's a continuation. It was on Thursday, and then on Friday, and then on Shabbos. So vayayin lulu kuli yam. It never became a mood on all different types of days. Oidem, or do you say, no, ha Shabbos kamaisa. This first Shabbos. Yes, if you didn't have anything else, you only had Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, you would say it's for all types of days. But now that we have that it was not just this Shabbos, it was another Shabbos, so you would say, Basa Shabbos hu de Shadin Lay. It seems to be a pattern of Shabbosas, Vila Shabbos hu de Yad, and therefore it's only mood for Shabbos and not for other days of the week. And that says the Gemara, take it, let it stand. It's not clear regarding these two different types of cases, which had the same series of questions regarding what do we say it's attached to know what it is that it's. Again, either it's symptomatic of the animal, which is called a simen, it's indicating that it's that type, or it's the seba, it's causation, it's behavioral, whichever type way you learn up the lumdus of the sugya. Question is, what is it related to? Is it related to the first type or the second type? Do you say it's primarily regarding its own type or regarding the pattern of that it was following beforehand? Now the Gemara continues on this halacha by saying the following case. Let's say the ox gores an animal on the 15th of this month, then the 16th of the next month, and then the 17th of the next month. So it went 15th, 16th, 17th. Says the Gemara, pluck the Rav Shmuel, this case regarding its status of being a mu'id, because it did it three times on seemingly on this pattern, 15th, 16th, 17th, is a machlekes Rav Shmuel. What's machlekes? So the Gemara explains, because it was said as follows, which is, the Gemara is relating here, a similar phenomenon of halacha, of creating a pattern, and the halacha is of a isha that's a nida, a menstruating woman, where there's a halacha of a vest, that she has, on the month, she has generally her period, which is that it comes once a month. Now there is a halacha called a vest kavua, which also takes, like by the Sharamud, three times to establish that pattern. Now there's two primary, actually there are other types, as we mentioned, Amen Alf regarding the Sharamud, also applies regarding Sirugin, would be the same thing regarding the Nida. But there's two primary ones, which are called the vest hachaydish, that it comes on this day every month, that would establish a vest kavua, which there are certain stringencies relating to that halacha that we and leniencies regarding if it has established that it's only on this day that we know she gets her vest. And then there's the vest haflaga, which is how many days that have passed from every 30 days she gets, every 27 days, every 33 days is when she gets her vest. That's the halacha relating to the halacha of Nida. Now, the Gemara is going to parallel that machlekes Rav Shmuel regarding the isha that's a nida to the halacha by Sharamud. As it was learned as follows, Rasa yim tesva b'chedesh. If a woman saw dam nida on the 15th of this month, the yim tesvayim b'chedesh, and then the 16th of the next month, the yim yudzayim b'chedesh, and then the 17th of the next month, which as Rashi tells us that up until now, however, she was always seeing on different days. Now she began this new pattern 15th, which she didn't see up until now, 16th of a different month, then 17th of the next month. So Rav Amar Rav says, Kavula Vest. She has established now a new pattern, which is established like that, what's called Vest Kavua, for jumping, for going from one day to the next, meaning every month to go a day later. So therefore, now when she saw her third Re'iyah on the 17th of this month, the third time, so there creates a certain leniency. And that is, although there are certain stringencies of Vest Kavua, it creates a leniency, which is that when she saw the Dam, we say what's called Dayashaita. We say that it's only today that we have to suspect, although she didn't check up until now, we see she has dam, which has certain halachic ramifications of the dam of nida. We say that no, we do not. Let's say in the times when there was in the Talmudic times when there was tahara, when there were certain things of what's to be careful with tomatara. Although generally, when a woman finds dam nida out of the blue, so you would say if she doesn't have a ves kavua that okay, maybe it was already here for 24 hours. When she has a ves kavua, we say that no, dayashait, we say that it probably came today. We don't have to suspect it was here for 24 hours because we know that this is the pattern she has established. So says Rav, now we know that the next one is going to be 18, the next one is going to be 19. That's the pattern she established. Until we uproot that, we know that that's going to be. Now, Ushmul Amar, he disagrees. He says, no, acha teshalish bedilug. It has not yet established a pattern of a ves kavua until it skips three times. In other words, it has to see a fourth time on the next month in the 18th. The reason being is because the first time is not counted from the three of creating a said pattern, because that wasn't seen in Dilug. It wasn't seen in skipping form because it was the first one. It was 15. The previous month was not 14. So, okay, that's starting off. That's baseline. But, okay, 15 doesn't teach us anything. When it goes from 15 to 16, that's one time that you jumped. Interesting. Then we see 16 and 17. Ooh, that's a second time. 17 to 18, three times establishing a pattern of dilug, of skipping, of every day being a day, of every month being a day later. That's what Shmuel holds. Rav disagrees. He says that no. Says that 15 was the first one, and then it went to 16 is the second one, and then to 17 is the third one. Now, therefore, what the Gemara is saying is, same thing would apply regarding Shara Mu'ud. According to Rav, when it gores three times, which is on the 15th of the month, and then the 16th, and then on the 17th of the next month, according to Rav, it already pays Nezik Shom on the third time, because it's already then that he says it has already established a pattern. Whereas according to Shmuel, it's only until it gores a fourth time in the 18th, on the fourth in the fourth month, because the first one is not counted from the counting of creating a vest for a diluk. Now, Rashi points out that the same thing would it be regarding the brayso we brought on Amud Aleph, regarding if it sees an ox and gores, an ox and doesn't gore, as we said that it's going to be a mu'ud for Sirugin. According to Rav, this that it said it becomes a mu'ud is going to be already on the third time, whereas according to Shmuel, it's only going to become a mu'ud for Sirugin if it goes and it gores on the next time after that. That's when it's going to pay Nezik Shalom, but on the third time, it's still going to be a Tam, because again, Sirugin could only create that pattern, not from the first one, it's only when it does that pattern the first time, the pattern the first time, not the first day. According to Shmuel, that doesn't count. Amar Rava. Rava says, another halach on this topic. Shama kol shayfer v'nogach. If it hears the voice of a shayfer, the sound of a shayfer, and it gores. Kol shayfer v'nogach. Again, a different time, it hears the sound of a shayfer, and it gores. Kol shayfer v'nogach. A third time, it hears the sound of a shayfer, and it gores. So nasa mu'ud l'shayfaris. It has become a mu'ud for horns, meaning when it say it's normal for this animal when it hears a shayfer blowing to go ahead and gore. Therefore, if at any point in time it hears a shayfer and it gores, it's going to pay nezik shalom. It's normal for this animal. So too, there are similar halachas regarding nida, regarding certain triggers, causes, stimuli that then we say it's normal for this to be expected. That's the same thing here. Not when it's a shayfer is not blowing, but when the shayfer is blowing, it's considered mu'ud. So the Gemara asks Pshita, that seems to be an obvious halacha. And the Gemara says, no. Ma'adatayim, we would have thought to say, Hak Shefer Kama, the first time the Shefer blows, Suyuta Ba'amahu Denokte. It's just that the animal was frightened, and it got frightened from the Shefer, and therefore went and did something crazy and gored, and therefore maybe that wouldn't be counted from the three of creating a pattern. Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush of Rabbah. No, we say that since we see that it's not just the first time, it happened two and three times, the first one is also considered from the three of creating already a halacha of being a mu'ud for the koil of the shayfer. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of these Mishnayos regarding a shor shenagach. So the Mishnah tells us, shor shel Yisrael shenagach shor shel hekdesh. If an ox of a regular common Jew gores the ox of hekdesh, which is owned by the Beis HaMikdash, or v'shel hekdesh shenagach l'shor shel edger, or the other way around, an ox of hekdesh gores a commoner's Jewish person's ox, says the Mishnah, either way, Potter, the Sher HaMazik, is going to be exempt. Why? Shenema, because the Pasuk in Shemai says regarding the Salacha of Sher Shenagach of Karen, it says in Perek Chafal of Pasuk Lamehei, V'chi Yigoyv Sher Ish, S, that if the ox of a person is going to gore S, Sheri Ehu, the ox of his friend, which tells us another common Jew, B'loy Sher Shel Hekdesh, and not the ox of Hekdesh, which tells us that regarding Hekdesh, the Halacha is always going to be that there's no Chiyiv of the Mazik of Karen. whether it's Hekdesh goring the Yisrael or the Yisrael goring Hekdesh. Now, Shershel Yisrael Shanokach LeShershel Kanani. If a Jewish person's ox gores a non-Jewish person's ox, so Patr is going to be exempt, as we said in the Pasuk, Re'ehu. V'shal Kanani Shanokach LeShershel Yisrael, but a non-Jew who gores a Jewish person's ox, Bein Tam, Bein Mu'id Mishalm Nezik Shalom. Whether it's a Tam, meaning even a Tam, or a Mu'id, the non-Jewish person that gores the Jewish person's ox is going to pay Nezik Shalom. Now the Gemara says, Masnid de Leker B'Shem Ben Manasseh. Our Mishnah must be not like Rishon ben Manasseh. The Tanakh within the Brisa. Tanakhama says, like our Mishnah, Sharshal Hadish and Nagach Sharshal Hektish, if a regular Jewish person is ox scores a Hektish, or the other way around, Shal Hektish and Nagach Sharshal Hadid, so Potter. Shenema, like we said in the Mishnah, Shari Ehu tells us that the Allah only applies with one Jewish regular common person with his friend, that gores, that's going to be the halacha of Sharshal Nagach. But for Sharshal Hektish, but not by an ox of Hektish. Where's Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh? I mean, he disagrees. He says, "Shershel hekdesh and nagach shershel hadyit pater." You're right. Regarding if the ox of hekdesh gores and the ox of a regular person, then he agrees that Allah is going to be the hekdesh will be exempt. But if shel hadyit and nagach shershel hekdesh, but if let's say a regular Jewish person's ox gores the shor of hekdesh, bein tam bein muid b'shalom nezek shalom. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh disagrees, and he says, then the Allah is going to be even the tam is going to be chayiv nezek shalom when it gores the ox of hekdesh. The Gemara asks, Amri, they said, Mikasav Reb Shimon. How do we understand this halacha of Reb Shimon ben Manasseh? And that is, I re'ehu dafka, if he learns, as the Tanakhama of our Mishnah learned, that re'ehu is specifically meaning to say that it's only when it's related to an ox of a colleague, not regarding Hekdesh, well then, afila shel hedish, and nagach shel hekdesh lifter, then even if a regular Jewish person's ox scores that of Hekdesh, so that person should be totally exempt from goring the ox of Hektish, because it's only when we're saying it's goring Shal Re'eyu, not Shal Hektish. And the Re'eyu Lavdaf, and if Reb Shimon learns that, no, Re'eyu doesn't mean specifically Re'eyu, it's just a terminology that the Pasuk used of Lashon Bnei Adam, but it applies even to Hektish, then the question is, Afila de Hektish Nami Ki Nogach de Hedyid L'chayiv, then why does he say that when Hektish gores a Hedyid, it's going to be exempt? Why? It shouldn't be any different than when we say that Hedyid goring Hekdesh is chayiv, because Re'eyu is lav dafka, so Hekdesh gores Hedyid should also be chayiv. Why does he say that there the Hekdesh is going to be exempt? And the Gemara says, V'chitem, and if you're going to say, La'olam k'sava Re'eyu dafka, that, okay, so really Reb Shimon holds that it is specific when it says in the Pasuk Re'eyu, and therefore it only applies to Re'eyu and doesn't apply to Hekdesh, and therefore whenever you have a goring related to the animal of Hekdesh, whether it being the mazik or the nizik, so then it should be exempt from the halacha, it should be pater. But a miu, however, Reb Shimon held the hedyid ki nagach the hektish, when a regular, a normal hedyid, commoner, his ox gores the ox of hektish. Hainu taimid mechayev. So what's the reason why there's a liability? Didn't we say when it's related to hektish, it should be pater? Is mishum dekomaisi le mekal v'chayim the hedyid? It's, you're right. From the pasuk itself, would tell you that there is an exemption, and that's why when hektish gores hedyid, it's exempt. So why when Hekdesh gores Hekdesh is chayiv? It's from Kavachemer, when it gores the animal of another commoner, which tells us as follows. Uma hedyit shenagach shel hedyit chayiv. If when a regular common animal, a commoner's animal, gores another regular person's animal, there's a liability. So ki nagach the Hekdesh, so when it gores an animal of a Hekdesh, which usually has more severe penalties in halacha, like koshkin de mechayiv, isn't it a Kavachemer that is going to be liability? That's why it's going to be chayiv, but not because the pasuk really holds Re'eyu Zafka, and that's why it's exempt from Hekdesh to Hedyid, but Hedyid to Hekdesh is going to be chayim because of Kavu Chaimer. I've had the Gemara ask, but that's still difficult. Because what we know, the halacha of Kavu Chaimer is limited to what's called Daye Lov Min Adin Li'ez Kenidin. But what the subject that's being learned out from the Kavu Chaimer can't be more severe than what you're learning it out from. Which, if you're learning out the Kavu Chaimer that a Hedyid should be chayiv when the gore is Hekdesh, from the halacha of a hedyid being chayv when the gore is a hedyid, well however when it's a tam it's only chayv chatzin nezik. Hachinami chatzin nezik. Then here also, even if you're going to say from kavu chaymer that hedyid should be chayv when the gore is hektish, because of the kavu chaymer, but it shouldn't be more than what you're learning out from, which is when the gore is a hedyid, which is only chatzin nezik. Why does Reb Shimon ben Manasseh say that even when it's a tam, when it's goring hektish, it's going to be chayv nezik shalom? So Ela Amar Reish Lakish, rather Reish Lakish gives the following understanding of Reb Shimon's opinion. Hakol hayu b'chlal nezik shalom. Every type of goring was included in the halacha of when it's a mu'id in being liable for nezik shalom. Because by mu'id, it doesn't mention anything about re'ehu. says Shal Mishal Mishari has to pay and compensate for the full amount of the damages of the ox. Now, therefore, that would include similarly the halacha relating to Hekdesh. So you know that when the Hedyit is Mazik Hekdesh, is going to be Chayiv Nezik Shalom when it's a Mu'it. Now, therefore, Kishaparat Lucha Kosev Re'eu Gabe Tam. So therefore, but regarding when it's a Tam, the first few times when it mentions that that halacha applies only to Re'ehu, that's not coming to exempt a Hedyit in the damage of Hekdesh as we have thought up until now. Rather, it's become, according to Rabbi Shimon, that's creating a more severe stance of Hedyit regarding Hekdesh, to tell us that the halacha will always be Nezik Shalom in regards to Hekdesh, which tells you that this that I said, that the Torah is saying that the first three times, it's not going to be Nezik Shalom, it's going to have halacha of Tam, that's only regarding Re'ehu. As the Gemara says, Re'ehu de Tam Mishalom Chatzi Nezik. It's only regarding Re'ehu, regarding a commoner, that the Torah is saying we're excluding it from the liability of Ol Mazikin, which is what it is when it's a mood of Nezik Shalom. First three times only going to be Chatzi Nezik. The Torah tells you that's only for Re'ehu. The inference is, says Rabbi Shimon, the Hekdesh, but regarding Hekdesh, Bein Tam Bein Mood Mishalom Nezik Shalom. That there doesn't make a difference, the Torah does not differentiate. It will always retain its status of what it is when it's a Mood, of paying Nezik Shalom, even when it's a Tam. And Rabbi Shimon proves this as we continue the top of Lama Chesem and Aleph. Because the Im Kain, because if you would entertain to say, as we had thought up until now, which is what the Tanna Kama learns, meaning like the Tanna of our Mishnah, that actually it's coming to exempt the Hedyit when he gores the Hekdesh, says Reb Shimon, Nichtav Kro L'Hai Re'ehu Gabi Mu'ud. Then the Torah should have written this exclusionary term of Re'ehu to say the halacha applies only to a commoner, not to Hekdesh. It shouldn't have written it by Tam. It should have written it by Mu'ud to say that the halacha applies even by Nezik Shalom, that the halacha would not apply. That Reb Shimon says, from the fact that it says only regarding Tam, not regarding Nezik, not regarding Mu'ud, tells you that actually it's a more severe halacha regarding Hekdesh, that Hekdesh, which is included, because there's no exclusionary there by Nezik Shalom, that it's always going to be Nezik Shalom, and it's just excluded from the leniency of Tam. Now that explains, says Rashi, regarding Reb Shimon's stance of why Hedyit that is Nogach Hekdesh is going to pay Nezik Shalom. But where do you see that Hekdesh, that Gore's head is going to be totally exempt? It didn't we say that by Mu'ud, it doesn't say any term of Re'ehu, it only says regarding Tam. So that says Rashi, that regarding Hekdesh goring the shur of a commoner, it can't be included even regarding Mu'ud. The reason being is because the Pasuk says, V'huad bib'olav, how to become a Mu'ud, because it was warned its owners. Now, you can't say that regarding Hekdesh, because there's no owners, that's Hashem, that they wouldn't apply that halacha of Uhud Bebala. And so too says Rash regarding Tam. It says, V'chiyigav shar ish esher Re'ehu. It says that if the ox of a man will gore the ox of his friend, that's when you have the halacha of Tam. Now that shar ish tells you that only applies to a man, an individual, not regarding Hekdesh, who is owned by Hashem, by Shemaim, by the Beis HaMikdash, by the Hekdesh, that wouldn't apply, and therefore the halacha of the Shur HaMazik of Hekdesh is excluded both from the halacha of Shur Tam and from halacha of Shur Mu'ud. Therefore, Shur Hekdesh, says Reb Shimon, that a gores a Shur Shal Hedyit is going to be exempt both by Tam and by Mu'ud, whereas the Shur of a Hedyit that gores a Shur Shal Hekdesh is actually going to be more severe. Although the Tanna Kamma said it's excluded, and therefore either way is going to be exempt, he says no, it's only excluded from the leniency of Tam, but it's going to have the severity of Mu'ud always, even when it's a Tam, and therefore it's always going to be Chayim Nezik Shalom when the Shur Shal Hedyit is Nagach or Shur Shal Hekdesh.